Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you all ever get a melody or even a lyrical phrase stuck in your brain and it just keeps going in circles and circles? And sometimes you can't figure out why it's there or why it's stuck there, what it is. Well, the past couple of weeks, I have been in full Advent planning mode, right? Advent begins 2 Sundays from today, and it always, always befuddles me how quickly time passes by, right? In January, I'm going to begin my 5th year here. Where have the last 4 years gone? I don't know, they've flown by. And so we're finishing up this season of ordinary time as we move into Advent in a couple of weeks. And somehow it's already the 26th Sunday after Christmas. I know that number goes up by one each week, but it feels like it went from 2 or 3 to 26 just like that. And so as I've been thinking about this passing of time, this lyric has been in my brain, and I finally figured out where it was from. Time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all our years away. It's from O God, Our Help in Ages Past. But as I was thinking about the passage of time and how quickly it goes by, this phrase was in my brain, and eventually, once the melody came to my brain, I figured out what it was. Time, like an ever-rolling stream. And so in 2 weeks, Advent begins, and I love the season of Advent. It might just be my favorite season of the whole church calendar. Even the planning of it makes me feel excited and happy. And I think the lectionary couldn't just wait a couple more weeks, because I think this morning's gospel lesson is getting us ready and preparing us for Advent as well. Right, so often in Advent, our focus is on Jesus' first coming as a little baby. But Advent is just as much a season and of waiting and hope for Jesus' second coming as it is his first. The second coming, when Jesus, at the end of time, will return and set all things right and make all things new. But that Advent isn't as fun as the first Advent, is it? It's not as sentimental. There aren't any presents. It's not about a cute little baby. This Advent, when Jesus comes again, it feels unsettling to me. Now, that could be because I'm very organized and I am a planner. I like to be prepared for all situations. And I really don't like surprises, and I don't like to be caught off guard. And so the fact that we don't know what's going to happen, how it's going to unfold, when it's going to take place, that just causes a lot of anxiety for that planner in me. And so if I spend too much time thinking about it, I can become anxious. And it's actually kind of funny, because what for us is to bring great, great hope in thinking about has often brought worry and fear for us. Whether or not it's the uncertainty of the details or the fear that these passages have been used with to make people be afraid and scared of what's to come. But the truth is, and the mystery of our faith is, that Jesus has died. Jesus is risen, and Jesus will come again. Right? In the midst of the turmoil of life, that is our great hope, that the kingdom, the reign of God that began or was inaugurated when Jesus became human and lived among us, that kingdom, that reign that we see glimpses of in Jesus' life and ministry, one day at the end of time, Jesus will return and fully and completely bring that kingdom to earth. Everything will be made right. Everything will be made new. One of the ways we often talk about this is that Jesus is turning the world upside down. Maybe he's turning it right side up, actually, to the way God intended for it to be. But that's the process of the kingdom of God fully coming, that Jesus began to turn the world upside down through his life and his ministry. And Jesus calls us to keep help turning that world upside down. And one day when Jesus returns, the upside downness will be full and complete. The reason that we often call this turning the world upside down is because the coming of Jesus brings a complete reversal of the social order. Right? Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor, for they shall inherit the earth." Jesus says, "The first will be last, and the last will be first." Jesus says, "Blessed are the hungry, for they shall be filled." Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the meek. There's a complete reversal of the social order here. Jesus came to free the oppressed. He came to preach good news to the poor, to do justice by caring for the least of these, the vulnerable and those on the margins. Jesus came to do justice by shattering the hierarchies that exist by human creation, right? Gender, race, ethnicity. Because in Christ Jesus, we all are one, and those hierarchies don't exist anymore. In Christ, the dead will be raised, the reversal. When Jesus fully and completely turns the world upside down by bringing his kingdom fully to earth, compassion, mercy, peace, and justice will reign. Swords will be turned into plowshares, the lowly lifted up, the mighty will be brought down from their thrones. In fact, there won't be rulers or leaders or countries anymore, because kings and kingdoms will all pass away. Every single earthly sign of power, of division, will be destroyed, because they won't be needed. Violence will be no more, and greed will be no more, and oppression will be no more. Because when Jesus fully and completely returns to earth, his law is love, and his gospel is peace. And that's what the kingdom of God will look like when it is fully realized. And so while we may not know when Jesus will come again or exactly how it will unfold, even if we don't know how we get to the end, we do know the end. We know the end, and that is so filled with hope that it brings great joy for all people. Because life can be hard and deeply disheartening and discouraging. And for some of the reasons even that Jesus lists in the gospel today, right? Many will come in his name and they will deceive many. False teachers and false prophets, false gospels have existed since the beginning of the church and in every age. And we are to be alert and keep awake that we are not led astray. Jesus says that there will be wars and rumors of wars. Kingdom will rise against kingdom, nation against nation. There'll be various natural disasters and famines. And all of these things make me really anxious and stir fear in me. But if I pause, if I take a moment to be still, I can hear Jesus saying these words with such deep compassion. Do not be alarmed. Do not be alarmed. If Jesus were sitting right here with us and next to us, and we were telling Jesus all of the things that we are afraid of, all of the ways that life is hard, all of the ways that we in this world are struggling, I think Jesus would take us by the hand, and he'd look in our eyes, and he would say with that compassion, "Do not be alarmed. Stay awake, stay alert, stay mindful, but don't be afraid, because I am with you, and I will be with you until I return, and I promise I will make all things right. Until then, we join God in helping make the world be more upside down. We join God in bringing the kingdom of heaven a little bit more on earth. We don't sit idly or passively by waiting for God's kingdom come. Luther says that God doesn't need our good works, but our neighbors do. And so we help God's dream come true by living out our baptismal calling. Right? We renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God. We renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God. And we renounce the ways of sin that draw us from God. And we help bring God's kingdom just a little bit more on earth as it is in heaven with our lives, by living among God's faithful people, by hearing the word of God and sharing in the Lord's Supper, by proclaiming the good news of Christ through word and deed, by serving all people, following the example of Jesus, and by striving for justice and peace in all the earth. Jesus will come again, and he will make all things right. Until then, we stay awake, we stay alert, and we keep on living out our baptism and those baptismal promises. And so let us listen again to the words from Hebrews. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, because he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and to good deeds. Let us not neglect meeting together, as is the habit for some, but encourage one another, and do it all the more as you see the day approaching. May it be so in our lives and in the world. Amen.